Exodus chapter 2. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And the sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrews' women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maidservant went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for the word that we have before us, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that it is perfect, it is inerrant, Lord, and we can trust every single word of it. Lord, help us to study it more. Help us to read it. Help us to rightly divide it, Lord, as you've told us to do, that we'll be approved unto you. And this morning, Lord, as we're looking at these scriptures, Lord, I just pray that you'll put in our hearts, Lord, the importance of what it means to be a parent. Lord, we are here at Mother's Day, and certainly It's about our mothers today, but really it's about all parents and all grandparents. Lord, help us today, Lord, see the great responsibility that we have in this world today. And help us, Lord, be up for the challenge. Lord, help us to do what we're supposed to do. I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's somebody here who has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, who has not been born again, I pray that they will be born again this morning. Lord, that they will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, that they will believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, and trust in that only to save them, Lord, because that is truly the gospel by which we are saved. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody not saved, they'll be saved. If there's somebody here this morning, Lord, who isn't living right, who has sin hidden in her heart, or has forgotten the responsibility, Lord, that they have when it comes to our children, Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that you'll just speak to their hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Mother's Day is one of the most special days of all the year. And we're told that there are more telephone calls on Mother's Day than there is any other time of the year. I remember before there were cell phones, and all there were just, you know, when the cell phones were really big and nobody had them. Yeah, I remember back in those days, we all actually had landlines at home. You know, and I remember on Mother's Day, I remember many times I would try to call my mother in another state, and I couldn't get through because all the lines were so busy. And so I'd have to wait all day long because everybody was trying to call their mother at the same time. By the way, if you have not called your mother yet and you're able to, if you're able to speak to your mother today, you need to wish her a happy Mother's Day. You need to wish her a happy Mother's Day because Mother's Day is a very special day. And we all ought to remember our mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." That's true. That's true. There have been a lot of mothers throughout history of our world who have impacted sons and daughters in a tremendous way. And Abraham Lincoln was one of those people. So many have godly mothers. People in the history of the world have had godly mothers. And the Bible tells us a lot about wonderful godly mothers. I think about the mother of Samuel. We can read over there in the book of 1 Samuel there in the first chapter. It talks about the mother of Samuel, which was Hannah. And Hannah, who didn't have any children at that time, went to God in prayer and asked God to give her a child. And God answered that prayer. And she was the mother of a wonderful man by the name of Samuel. And she, the first thing she did was dedicate Samuel to the Lord. That's what he did. He said, "Okay, you're going to serve the Lord. You're going to stay here in the temple." That's what she did. A godly mother. Not only that, but in the New Testament, we're given an account of the young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, a very special young man who came to know the Lord and became a great fellow worker of the Apostle Paul. His mother, Eunice, was a mother who had taught him from a child the things of the Holy Scriptures and had brought him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a godly mother does. That's what Timothy's mother did. But there's one particular mother I want to talk about this morning that may not be as well known as some of the other mothers in the Bible, and yet her story is a tremendous encouragement to all mothers and grandmothers here today. Now, the verses I've read to you does not give her name. But in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, we are told her name, and her name is Jochebed. And Jochebed is the mother of the writer of the book of Exodus, Moses. And what she did around the birth of Moses, and it shows just what kind of faith that she really had. Just looking at Jochebed and the things that she faced and the things that she was looking at and the time that she was living in and how horrible things were, but yet when you see her faith during this whole thing, that should encourage every mother and every parent in here. Because even though things in this country aren't that bad yet, but they're getting there. They're getting there. And there are places all over the world today that it's a whole lot harder to be a godly mother than it is here in the United States today. We have the advantage, and we need to take advantage of that. The Lord has given us many blessings, and we have many freedoms in this country, and we as parents need to take advantage of those things that God has given us. And so today, listen, it's never easy to be a godly mother, but it's easier today than in the United States than it is in a lot of other places. And so today, this story should be an encouragement to all of our mothers here today. And I wanted to start off by showing you, when it comes to this woman this morning, Jochebed, the first thing I want to show you is the problem that she faced. And she faced a very serious problem. Now, this account that we read this morning begins by telling us the historical circumstances of the birth of this young boy, Moses. And remember, the children of Israel had just come from the land of Egypt back during the days of Joseph. The leader of Egypt at that time knew Joseph, and he liked Joseph. Now, this is before they actually came here. If you go back there in Genesis, towards the last three chapters of Genesis, you read the story about Joseph and how Joseph, he was betrayed by his brother, and he was sold off, and eventually he ended up in Egypt, and he became Pharaoh's second man. I mean, he was second in charge, and he was able to feed his own brethren because he was second in charge when there was a time of where there was a drought and there was no food around. He was able to feed his family. And then towards the end of Genesis, you start to see where Joseph and his family end up moving to Egypt. They stayed in Egypt, and the Pharaoh there liked Joseph, and he liked the family of Joseph. But then the Bible tells us here in the first chapter of Exodus that much later on, after Joseph had passed, there arose another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And that changed everything. Basically, what you had now was a generation of Hebrews who did not know Joseph and a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And that kind of reminds me about the circumstances that mothers face today with our children. We're living a nation, folks, in a generation that does not know Jesus. Now, I'll tell you something. When I was young, lost people would come to church, and lost people would shudder before they would use the name of the Lord in vain. And even before that, but now you're living in a country that is getting further and further and further away from the Lord, a country that doesn't want him in our schools, a country that does not want him in our courthouses. We don't want him anywhere, and every day that passes by, we become more ungodly and more ungodly and more ungodly. Hey, that's the same thing that you see Jochebed facing here. The same thing. At one time, they knew the children of Israel. They knew Joseph, but now Pharaoh doesn't know Joseph anymore. Those people, some of them probably don't know Joseph either. And so today, we live in a generation who does not know Jesus. When you talk about the Bible or you talk about old-fashioned values and mothers who love Jesus, there are young people and there are boys and girls today who really don't even know what you're talking about. Therefore, if you have a Christian mother, you have a tremendous heritage today. You have a tremendous heritage. Some of you have a mother, some of you have mothers who are still alive today. Others have lost your mothers. Some of you lost your mothers years ago. For others, it hasn't been that long. But if you have a godly mother, or if you have ever had a godly mother, you have a lot to be thankful for. I tell you this, every day I'm thankful that I have a godly mother, a mother who prayed for me when I was young, and a godly grandmother who prayed for me when I was young. I still remember hearing my grandmother saying, Bobby, that's what she called me. She called me Bobby. She said, Bobby, I pray for you every day. And at that time, I really didn't understand the power of prayer. I do now. I do now. And I'm thankful that I had a mother and a grandmother that prayed for me, that were there for me, that taught me things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for if you have a godly mother, but beware of the fact that there is a generation in America today that knows not what it means to be a godly Christian mother. Now, the land of Egypt, if you remember, was a very pagan land, and they had all kinds of gods, and they didn't believe in the one true God. And because of that, there was a very low regard for human life. So much so that Pharaoh commanded all the Hebrew baby boys to be thrown into the crocodile-infested Nile. He wanted to snuff out all the lives of these Hebrew people. Now, think about how that must have impacted Jochebed. I mean, you know, here she is, she's getting to have a child, and she knows this is what Pharaoh's doing. And so that kind of reminds us today of the tough assignment that Christian mothers have. It reminds us that Christian mothers are assigned the responsibility of bringing up boys and girls in a society that's filled with the worship of all kinds of gods and a society where there's very little regard for human life. There is less regard for human life in our society today than it's ever been, folks. And there are mothers today that are bringing in children into this generation. And there are mothers and grandmothers today that are trying to raise their children in this generation. And I'm going to tell you, it can be hard and it's a great responsibility. But we must stay the course and keep on teaching them what's right. Keep on teaching them the Bible. Keep on teaching them about the Lord. So Jochebed here, she has a burden. And her burden is that she is to bring up this boy in that kind of atmosphere. I can't imagine what she must have been thinking during that time. Now, the time of giving birth ought to be a time of great joy and a great expectancy. But for Jochebed, it wasn't like that at all. It was a time of great anxiety. Just think about it. For 9 months, Moses' mother knows that the penalty, if her boy is a baby boy, the penalty was that baby boy is supposed to be destroyed. That was the penalty. And she... Here, and listen, they didn't have ultrasounds back then. Amen? Back then, here's what you had. You know, the same thing that happened today. You know, if you're carrying high, you're a boy. Forget that. Well, Emma was carried high. Sorry, no boy. You have a lot of wives' tales out there that say, if you carry high, it's a boy. If you carry low, it's a girl. If you walk like this, you must be a girl. You know, if you have worse morning sickness, it must be a boy. All that stuff, you just don't know till they're born. Amen? You don't. Now, today you can because there's ultrasound, but back then there were none of that. None of that. So here she is 9 months and she's thinking the whole time, you know, she's thinking, I hope this is a girl. I hope this is a girl. I hope this is a girl. Because if it's a boy, the boy's got to be destroyed. Now that's the kind of what the problem she was facing. I'd say it's a pretty big problem, wouldn't you say? Amen. Pretty big problem. But then the next thing I want you to notice is her diligence in the situation. In Exodus chapter 2, look if you would at verse 2. It says, the woman conceived and bare a son. Uh-oh. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. Now, when it says that Moses was a goodly child here, that means he was a pretty baby. That's what it means. He was a pretty baby. Now, if you know anything about babies at all, you know that that's a very unusual statement. Because not all babies. Now, listen. Let's be honest here. I mean, there are people today who... I'm just going to say, you know, lying is a sin. Amen? We all understand that. That means even those little white lies. You know, all babies are special. All babies, they're miracles. And we love them all. But not all babies are pretty when they're first born. No, they're not, okay? I ran across this the other day. It says, a bald red head, a puckered face, hands blindly wandering into space, a wee faint smile, a stalwart squall, and a yard of clothes to hide it all. You know, I will say this. There must be something in the water at this church. Because every baby that I have seen born from people and families of this church are the most beautiful babies I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not just saying that because I'm your pastor. I'm honest when I'm telling you that. We have some beautiful babies here. I don't know what's up with these other churches, but we got some good looking ones here. Amen? I just hope they keep on growing up that way. So, but, you know, that... that's what Moses was. He was a pretty baby. In fact, Acts 7:20 says, in which time Moses was born was exceeding fair. It means he was a pretty baby when he was born. And Jochebed understands that her baby was a special baby. And she determined that this little one was going to fulfill his purpose that God had for him. So notice what she did. In Exodus chapter 2, look at it again. It says, and a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She's hiding him from Pharaoh. Have you ever thought about how hard it would be to hide a baby for 3 months? I mean, I know this. My oldest son, it didn't seem like he ever cried at all. I mean, we'd lay him down and we'd sleep and we'd sleep in. He'd sleep in too. It was great. Well, that all come to an end when I got the rest of them. Because once Blake came and Caleb came and Emma came, wasn't a whole lot of sleep going on around the house. And I think everybody in here kind of understands what I'm talking about, amen? And so, I mean, it was this content. Can you imagine hiding a baby for 3 months? I mean, here she is. She's trying to hide him, and the baby's crying and whimpering. And every time a Egyptian soldier would walk by, don't you know she's just praying that baby will be quiet for 3 months. That's what she was facing. But finally, it came to her. She couldn't hide the baby anymore. So she makes a choice. Because of her love for Moses, she determined that she would not allow her baby boy to be destroyed in the rivers of the Nile. And you know, that's something that every mother must determine. Every mother has to come to a point of decision and determination in her life where her child is not going to be destroyed by this world. Every mother in here has to be determined to say, you know what, I'm not going to let this world get my child. I'm going to give my child every advantage that I could possibly give this child, so that way when he goes out into the world, he stands a chance. And you know, it takes a lot to bring up a child today. It's not easy to be a mother today. But we as parents, as mothers, we must be determined that our children are going to come up, have the best chance of living for the Lord and the best chance of being saved that they could possibly have. Now, I'm just going to tell you this morning, as much as we want to, we cannot save our own children. You can't save anybody. By the way, it's God who saves. Remember, we plant the seed, we water the seed, but it's God who gives the increase. And as much as parents, as much as we would like to be the ones who make the decision for our children to get saved, we can't do that. Everybody's got to make their own personal decision of whether or not they're going to receive Jesus Christ. And that's the reason he's supposed to be your personal savior. In other words, just because you're saved doesn't mean your family is automatically saved. They've got to make a decision. But wouldn't you agree this morning that if we raise them and we bring them to church and we talk to them about the Lord and we make much about Christ and every time there's an answered prayer, we make sure that they understand that and we talk to them about the Lord and we're determined to give them the best chance in the world. Listen, if you're bringing them to church and you're teaching them about Jesus, you're giving them the best chance that they have. But there are a lot of Christian families who aren't doing that today. A lot of Christian families, they get to the point where everything else is important in that child's life except for the spiritual part of it. Well, listen, folks, this world out there is licking its chops to get to our kids. You don't believe it? Look at the things that's on TV. Look at the things that's going on in this world. Listen to the way people are talking. Think about how life means nothing to people, even in this nation. That's the world they're going to be sent out to. We need mothers and parents who are determined to say, listen, I'm gonna do everything I can to keep the world from getting our kids. I'll tell you this, kids are going through, our young people are going through more temptations than I could ever remember. I think back when I was young, the temptations I went through and the temptations I faced, nothing compared to what they face today. We need to be determined that we're going to raise them right and do the right thing and give them a chance out there. And you know, I understand today that it's harder and harder to pay bills, and I realize that many people have to pull overtime to make ends meet. I understand all that. But the problem is that we sometimes get the idea that we can go back home after working and then do absolutely nothing with our kids and never spend any quality time with them and expect them just to turn out all right. How can you expect them to turn out all right when you haven't done anything to help them all along the way? The average boy and average girl in America today watches TV 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day. The average boy in America, boy and girl in America today does not get 5 seconds of Bible reading in and prayer in. We say we believe the Bible, but do we ever really open up the pages of the Bible and talk to our children about the Lord? I'll tell you this, folks, you've got an opportunity today, but you ain't always going to have that opportunity. I want to encourage you to determine here right now, this morning, to make up your mind that you're going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that your son and daughter, that they have every advantage to be exactly what God wants them to be. And I think somewhere along the way, Jochebed realized that she was not going to be able to keep this son out of the Nile. Sometimes she says, you know what, eventually I've got to let this child go. Eventually I've got to put this child in there and just hope for the best for him and pray for him. Eventually I've got to let her go. Hey, listen, that's every parent in here. Eventually, if you're a parent today and you've got young people or you've got teens, eventually, one of these days, you're going to have to let them go and go out into the world. Are they prepared? Have you given them every advantage that they could possibly have when it comes to spiritually and doing the right thing? As much as we like to, well, some of us like to keep our kids in our house forever. Some don't. But either way, one day, you've got to let them go. That's what Jochebed was facing here. She realized that she wasn't going to be able to keep her child out of the Nile. Then the Bible says in verse 3 of her text, it says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. She made a little vessel. And when you read about the ark in the Bible, it's always a picture of safety, and it's always a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read about Noah's ark, it was that big ark that was made so that animals and people could all get on inside and be safe. And when the floods came, they were safe in that ark. And only those who had faith were put into the ark. Only those people with faith were put into the ark. Just as today, only those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are put in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved forever. Here is an ark, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of safety as well. And Jochebed was determined that if he were going to go into the Nile, he was going to be put in that Nile in that ark. I'll say it again. She knew she had to put him in the Nile, but she wasn't going to just toss him in the Nile. No, she put him in that ark and then let him go. You say what that's talking about. You know, whether your child goes to public school or private school or homeschooled, sooner or later, your children are going to go out into the world in which they live. But I'll tell you what you can do as parents. You can get your boys and your girls in the Lord Jesus Christ and get them in the safety of the ark so that when they get out in the world in which they live, they'll have the safety of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you get them saved, but what I'm saying is this, you give them every advantage in the world so that they can get saved. Let them know about Jesus Christ. One of the great blessings that I have had since I've been the pastor of this church is I never will forget it. I remember I was driving the bus home one day. I was taking a bunch of kids to their house. And I don't know if Brother Joe was sick that night, they were up, but I was driving them back. And as I was driving back, I was picking them up and bringing them to church. And when I was bringing them to church, one kid goes, well, where are we going? And the child goes, well, we're going to church. And he goes, well, what's church? He goes, that's where we learn about Jesus. And then that little kid goes, who's Jesus? Now folks, that hit me hard. Because when a little child says, who's Jesus? You know what I wanted to do right then and there? I want to knock on every door in this town and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Think about the opportunity you have to tell people about Jesus. There is a whole town here that don't know who Jesus is. People's kids don't know who Jesus Christ is. Listen, if you're a godly mother here today, your child should know who Jesus Christ is. And the more they know about Jesus, the more that they're going to have the advantage when it comes to one day calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. They're going to know what they need to do. And so we ought to pray for them every day that they'll be saved, they'll serve the Lord faithfully in their lives. You must be determined to give your children the greatest chance of getting saved and faithful serving the Lord by keeping them in church, by teaching them the things of the Lord. Now, here goes little Moses into the Nile, the Ark of Safety, floating down the Nile River. And his sister Miriam, the teenager, is in the reeds looking at what's going on. Look at verse 5. It says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now watch what it says here. It says, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now you're talking about the Lord taking care of things. I mean, God gave her a little baby. Now God's going to make sure that she's paid for taking care of it. Now you can't beat that. Amen. Now think about this. Jochebed knows that she's going to have just a few short days or a few short years to put dedication in the heart of Moses. And may I tell you, moms, you need to remember this, that you just have a few short years with your children and grandchildren. Just a few short years. And then they're going to grow up much, much too fast. And then they're going to go out in this world. You only have a certain amount of time. Jochebed here only had a certain amount of time. She was hired to nurse the baby, and then once the baby was up to a point where she could live without being nursed, or he could live without being nursed, she was supposed to give it back to Pharaoh's daughter for her to raise it. And as mothers, as parents, you only have your children for so long and your grandchildren for so long. You've got a great opportunity. You've got a great responsibility. And we need to take advantage of the time that we have. Don't put off getting them into church. Don't put off reading them the Bible. Don't put off talking about the Lord. Pray for them. Tell them about the Lord. Take advantage of every moment you have, because if you don't, you're going to regret it one day. You're going to regret it. Don't you know that if Jochebed here, don't you know that she cherished every moment she had with that child? Because she knew that, hey, it's just a matter of time. And this child is going to belong to Pharaoh. This child is going to be out into the world. This child is going to be out where there's false gods and all these things. I've only got just a little bit of time with this child. You better take advantage of the time that you have. You better get to your children in church. You better tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I always wondered when I read that passage, you know, after it was given to her, Moses was given to her so she could nurse Moses. I always wondered if maybe that she sang hymns to him when she had him, or maybe she told him stories about how the Lord took care of Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I wonder if she told him how that God was the one who created the whole universe and how that he is God eternal. No doubt Jochebed was diligent to teach Moses as much as she could in the little time that she had. And as mothers, you need to show the same diligence toward your children and grandchildren. We saw Jochebed's horrible problem. We saw her diligence and how to take care of the problem. But then I want you to see her reward. And really, this is what the whole message is about. The reward of Jochebed. Now, Jochebed had Moses just for a few years, and then the inevitable day came. Look at verse 10. It says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So now, he doesn't belong to her anymore. She's let him go. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The inevitable day came when the knock came at the door, and the servants of Pharaoh's daughters came to get Moses. And I can almost see her now, the house of the tears probably were falling in her eyes, down her cheeks, as she take that little boy and give it to the soldiers there of the Egyptian army. And I can almost see how that, you know, she puts her arms around that little boy and whispers in his ear and says, remember, Moses, who you are, and remember who God is. And then Moses goes into a totally different atmosphere. He moves to the fast lane of the Egyptian society. He's living in the home of Pharaoh's daughter. He's given everything, the rights and privileges of being the son of Pharaoh. And the Bible says in Acts 7:22, and it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. In other words, he learned about all those false gods. He learned about everything that they taught. He learned all those things. And was mighty in words and deeds. He learned all the history of the Egyptians. He learned all of it. Probably learned a whole lot about, you know, about Joseph and the history of those things. He learned all that history, and he was mighty in words and deeds. But I have a feeling that he would probably sometimes, you know, he would, you know, maybe when maybe some of the boys were saying, hey, Moses, let's go over here and let's do this evil deed. Let's go over and do something here. Don't you know that maybe Moses thought back and said, you know, I remember my mama telling me that I ought not hang with boys like you. I remember my mama telling me that I need to obey God and do what he tells me to do. I always wondered if Moses thought about those things when he was tempted by peer pressure. Words go a long way, folks. And when you teach people, you teach our young people the Word of God and you have them memorize Scripture, there's a reason for memorizing Scripture. You know what that is? The Bible says that you may hide the Word of God in your heart. In your heart. So that way when temptation comes, you have those words on the inside. You say, whoop, wait a second, I can't do that. Can't do that. Whenever I see somebody, every single time, to show you how much impact words have, I still remember that my mom and my grandmother teaching me about pride. About pride, how bad pride is. You know, and I still remember talking about pride and destruction and you know, and haughty before a fall. I still remember all that. And every single time that I'm watching any sports thing and I see the sports figure go by and they say, well, how did you score so many points? Well, you know, I went there, I just work hard and I do all these things and I'm pretty doggone good. I'm thinking to myself, and I could still hear my mother's voice talking about pride. Those words of God are hidden, supposed to be hidden in our hearts. Why? To keep us from doing wrong things. That's what we do. That's what she did. And I wonder if Moses sometimes thought back the words that his mother taught him, thought back about some of the things she taught him. You say, well, why would you think that he would think that? Why would you think that he didn't go with those boys? Why would you think that he wasn't totally like the Egyptians? Well, that's because of what the Bible says. Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody impacted Moses here. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look, if you would, at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11. You talking about a great reward for the mother of Moses. A great reward. Hebrews chapter 11. Look, if you would, at verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses. First of all, Moses is written in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. That right there would make any mother in here proud. Amen? I mean, any mother in here would say, boy, my boy was written in the hall of faith. That's a great reward. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Let me ask you something. Isn't that what you want for your children? To do that very same thing in your grandchildren? To rather suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season? That's what I would want for all my kids. To grow up and be faithful to the Lord. To not fall into sin and not do the wicked things. But to live serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. That's what I would want. Well, that's exactly what happened with Moses. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. In other words, Moses understood where the true riches were, and it wasn't in the world. You know, how many of you understand today the world's trying to tell you that the right thing is what the world wants? The advantage is being worldly. Come, have this drink of beer over here. Sit underneath the palm trees. That's what the world is telling you. But it says here that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect and a recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses lived for the Lord. When he was right there, and he could have worshipped the same false gods that the Egyptians had. He could have done the same wicked things the Egyptians did. But you know what he did? He chose to serve the Lord. He chose to be faithful to God. That's what he did. Now let me ask you something. If you were Jochebed, if you were Moses' mother, wouldn't you be pretty happy about that? I mean, honestly, folks, honestly, for Christian mothers and for Christian parents, I don't think I'm alone when I say the two things we want for our kids is, number one, that they get saved and that they're going to heaven. Amen? I mean, that's I mean, the day my kids got saved, I'm like, oh man, this is just wonderful. Nothing compares to it except maybe me getting saved, but even more so. It was great. And I'm thankful for that. But it's not just that. You know what I really want to see my kids do? I want to see them grow up. I want to see them stay in church, be faithful to the Lord, and then raise their grandchildren the same way. Amen. And their grandchildren the same way. And their grandchildren the same way. On and on and on. But I'm just going to tell you something, folks. If you look at Christianity today, and you look at our young people today, and I'm not talking about the young people in the church, I'm talking about young people in general. If you look at the generations in the United States today, you know what you see? About 100 years ago, people were a whole lot more godly. Not saying they were all saved, but they were a whole lot more godly. More Christians came to church 100 years ago than they do today. That is an absolute fact. Christians went to church, and then they raised their children to go to church, and then the next generation came, and then that generation decided they weren't going to go to church as much, but they're going to go most of the time, but not as much. And you know, and they kept their children in church most of the time, but not all the time. And then that generation said, well, you know, we didn't go to church all the time. We went most of the time. And they actually went a little less, and then their children went a little less. And then they started getting into other things, and things started to take away from church on Sunday. And they're like, well, as long as we make it to church once a month, that'll be good. And then the next generation come along, then you got Christians who only come to church on Easter and Christmas Day. And they said, well, you know, we go to church and we're all spiritual. Well, we're all saved. We don't believe you need to be in a church house to serve God. You know, all that nonsense. And then they raised their children. You know what you have today? A generation that does not know God. A generation. They don't know anything about biblical anything. That's the reason when I look, honestly, when I look into this crowd and I see young people sitting in a church on Sunday morning, that is the biggest blessing to me. They will never know how much of a big blessing that is when I see young people sitting in church. You know why? Because amongst Christian young people today, most are not. Most are not. When I see young people doing things for the Lord and serving the Lord, loving the Lord, great blessing. Folks, listen, we only have just a little bit of time as parents. And our responsibility is so great. I look at Jochebed there, and I'm thinking, boy, what a responsibility. I mean, she's got her child. She's only got a little bit of time, and then that child is going to belong to the Egyptians. We've only got a certain amount of time, and then our children are going to be out on our own in this world, a world that gives them no mercy at all. You think the world gives them mercy? Read the story of the prodigal son. This world's going to eat them up if you don't give them some sort of advantage. What are we to do? Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them to church. Pray for them. And by the way, once you're into the world and they're no longer under your roof, keep on praying for them. Why? The Lord will honor it. The Lord will honor it. You can't save your children, but you can give them every advantage. That's what a godly mother does. That's what godly parents do. And again, if you choose not to do that, you may be like some of those generations in the past and say, you know, it's okay to miss church every now and then. As long as they're there once a month, we're good. You can do that. But don't be surprised if your children do the same thing or even worse, and then your grandchildren don't go to church at all. If you think I'm wrong on the assessment of that, take a look around at the Christians today. Take a look around at churches today and see how many chairs are empty. If you think I'm making that up, take a look around. It starts with us. Let's teach our children right. Let's teach them about the Lord. Let's be the parents we need to be in the short time that we have. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.